Well, in a moment, Heather will come and bring God's word to us. She's asked me to read from 2 Corinthians. So if you have Bibles open, that will be good. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting from verse 13. 2 Corinthians 3, starting from verse 13. So this is Paul writing, and he says this: "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Amen. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for that scripture. We pray now for Heather, that you would anoint her with the power of your Spirit to preach your word faithfully. And open our ears and our eyes to hear and see the things you have for us. We wait with anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hello again. Still quite a lot of you there. I'm going to be coming back to that passage, and indeed the passage in John, on and off. As we go through this. But first of all, I just want to, before I say more about BMS World Mission as well, and take you to that place in India, I want us just to think for a few moments about light and darkness. We've sung about it quite a lot. Almost every song that we have sung this morning has included it. When we think about light, then there's so many things come to our mind. Light brings life and growth. We know that very little can grow in the darkness. Light expels the darkness. It brings clarity, but it can also bring exposure. Light gives us confidence. It brings hope. We say, don't we, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We use the image of a light bulb, as I have there, when we talk about new ideas and inspiration. But on the other hand, darkness brings exactly the opposite: fear, blindness, obscurity, even confusion. I don't know. Have you ever been in a public place where suddenly all the lights go out? Maybe you've been in a cave, you know, where they take you round and then suddenly they turn the lights off. It's scary. Total darkness. We're not used to it in our urban environment. A couple of years ago, I was in Cambodia, and I was there, in fact, for the launch of the first ever scripture in these people's language. Very exciting. And a group of us went on a minibus, and we were dropped on the road, as such, to walk down to the village, which was down a sort of rough tropical track. Completely dark. And when we were together, it was okay. But then it started to rain, and I stopped, and I sort of fumbled around for my umbrella. Because you know what it's like in the tropics when it rains seriously. And just that, those couple of moments, the others didn't notice I'd stopped. They went on. And I was completely alone and it was dark. And I had not a clue where to put my foot. I knew it was very muddy. I knew I could easily fall. We were going to quite an important occasion. I didn't want to look ridiculous. Mud splattered. Until suddenly I remembered I had my phone. Now, I think it's probably the first time that I've ever used my torchlight on my phone. I've used it a few times since. But it changed everything. Suddenly, I could walk with confidence. I had a sense of direction. I wasn't going to fall. And it was just such a simple illustration of the significance of light. We know the Bible is full of references to light and darkness. Right at the very beginning, we read, darkness was over the face of the deep until God said, let there be light. And we read in our Bible passage today, God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news brings light. John said that very famous verse, John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, we could spend a whole sermon or several just thinking about what that means. In our first reading from the first book of John, first chapter of John, John describes the impact of the coming of Jesus Christ, the true light that gives light to everyone who's coming into the world. And of course, as you look back into the Old Testament, Isaiah comes to mind immediately, Isaiah 9 verse 2. The prophet predicts a time when the people who walk in darkness will see a great light as he points forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. So let's think for a moment then. What is the impact of the coming of that light? What does it mean for us that Jesus is the light of the world? Well, firstly, there's only 2 points I'm going to bring out, you'll be glad to know. It is transformational. We all, with unveiled faces, can now behold the glory of the Lord. And in doing so, we are being transformed. Isn't that incredible? As we reflect God's glory, just in a small way, we are being transformed into his image, the image of Jesus. We have renounced disgraceful, underhand ways. It says there in chapter 4, verse 2, when God's light shines into our lives, of course, it shows up what is wrong. We've had a time of confession already this morning. That's so important because with the help of God's Spirit, we are given the strength to be transformed. It's not just theoretical, but it is happening. We are becoming more like Jesus Christ. Of course, light can also be quite startling or even scary. Think of the power of a searchlight as it sweeps across the dark waters, or the exposure of cobwebs and mess in the dark corners of a room. Well, in my house, probably not in your house, or of a shed, or whatever. Light exposes what is there. It's powerful and searching. It shows what we perhaps have wanted to have kept hidden. But we know that when God turns that spotlight on our lives, then it is for a positive outcome, so that we can recognize our need for cleansing. And we know we can therefore face the issues, and confession can lead to forgiveness. As we've already proclaimed this morning, that is an amazingly incredible truth. God's light shining into our lives is a positive thing. Light disperses darkness. I love this image. That well-known verse from the first chapter of John. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has never overcome it or understood it. The passage we heard in Corinthians tells us that though the gospel is veiled to unbelievers, when we turn to the Lord, when we turn to God, it's as if the veil is removed. It's his initiative, though. You know, sometimes we would love, wouldn't we, to take that veil off for other people. Maybe people in our family, people that we love, who we want to come to the light, to see that light. But it reminds us there, it's God, actually, who removes the veil. Remember, we need to remind ourselves of this truth, that however dark the day may seem, light has shone out of the darkness. Light continues to shine in the darkness. Good Friday was a very dark day, but Resurrection Sunday was to come. We are people of the light, of that gospel that brings life, light, and hope. It's important that we understand and affirm this and remind each other that light overcomes darkness, that Jesus has confronted the powers of darkness and has defeated them. Not that we can deny, of course we cannot deny the fact of darkness, that would be very difficult, but we can have confidence of the victory of Jesus Christ over darkness. And as a result, we who have the Spirit of Christ can know that too. I love the verse from 1 John 4. You, dear children, are from God. John again reminding us of our identity in Christ Jesus, and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's important, isn't it? To remind ourselves, remind each other that we are people of the light. Now, we've heard in the video already this morning that many, many people in India and around the world still live in that darkness. We heard from 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. We are aware, all too aware, there's a battle going on for people's hearts and minds. The enemy is at work. The enemy wants to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. And you certainly see that all too obviously in somewhere like India. And yet, we can praise God that despite the persecution, despite repression, the light of the gospel has not gone out, as we saw in that part of India, because light triumphs over darkness. God triumphs over enemy. And when God's light shines in our hearts, then it gives us the knowledge of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? As we've reflected on God's glory and God's greatness this morning already in our worship, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, only God can turn on that light of knowledge. But that is what he has promised to us. And that is what is happening, not only here among us, but across the world, as mission organizations like BMS World Mission continue to live out the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, working in something like 35 countries with more than 200 people, amongst some of the world's most marginalized and least evangelized people, such as you've already seen. So I just want to share a little bit more with you of what is happening, what I saw at first hand, as people are turning from darkness to light in that part of India. You may recognize the guy on the left there in the blue. He was on the video. In fact, they went to one of the villages that we went to as well. This is a small church planting team, led by the guy you saw, Ben Francis, and I was very excited when I was there in Calcutta when Ben invited me to go and join the team who were going out into the Sundarbans. You saw there on the video, sometimes they bring people together with sport, particularly the first time they've been to a village. In this case, it was a clinic. These are very poor areas. There's a lot of illness, a lot of disease, and many people cannot afford healthcare. And so to provide a free clinic is really, really important. They set up. There's no loudspeaker system. It's just by word of mouth. People gradually gather. As they gather, they always sing, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I sang in English. They sang in Bengali. And then people, they pray and people come. And people receive that compassion of Jesus. And they also receive the knowledge that these people, this doctor, is doing this in his own time. He could earn a lot of money elsewhere or by going to abroad to other countries, but he is giving because the love of Christ compels him. As the love of Christ should compel us to go out wherever we are. And as the clinic was continuing in Ranjapur, they said, would we like to go to meet some of the local believers? So we jumped back in the sort of jeep and we went. And when they say, come and meet the church, these are all literally house churches. So something, this was a small house that you can see there. There's I'm taking to the left and to the right. I put them together. Men on the left, women on the right. About 25 people gathered. I was sitting on the bed. It was sort of their one room. And it was just such a wonderful, just time to listen to people's stories as they translated them for us. And as we shared together, we didn't speak a common language, but we could share our love for the Lord. And then they said, now we're going to go down to the river. That's getting more exciting all the time. And 11 people are going to be baptized. Now, I don't know where you do your baptisms. Here in the church, yes, that's normal for a Baptist church in this country, isn't it? Well, obviously there was no baptismal pool in this house, and so baptisms are public. But remember, this is not a Christian area. This is quite a strongly Hindu area. And so to go to the river is actually quite a scary thing. It's very public. Now, there were 7 men and 4 women baptized in that river that day. They'd already given their testimonies in the house. And it was a little different from our baptisms. They don't go backwards; they just go down. And it flashed through my mind that when I was at the training before we went, we looked at various scenarios. And one of the scenarios, health and safety, was if you are invited to join in a baptism in an iffy river, lake, whatever, what do you do? Well, at that point I said, oh, well, I'll just keep your mouth shut and pray, you know, or keep it shut as you go down. But to my disappointment, they didn't actually invite us in. You would not have wanted to, you know, take any of that river water in there. But I think probably this is the most poignant baptismal service. And I've been to many. I was baptized when I was 15. Because it was just very quiet, very powerful. And after the 7 men were baptized, all the men were asked to leave. This was the one time, the one and only time in India where it was good to be a woman. Because I was the only woman in the group, and they said, I could, of course, stay. And I was able to actually video and the baptisms of the 4 women. And very, very special. When we baptize, you know, when you come up, usually we sing something rousing, like up from the grave here, rose, or what, you know, whatever. But, of course, it's very quiet. Because you don't want, it's public. But it wouldn't be wise to draw too much attention. For these people, like the lady in the video, making a public confession of Jesus Christ, saying you have come from darkness to light, may mean being ostracized from your family, may mean being beaten, may mean all sorts of things. And some of the team shared with us what it had meant for them, and I tell you, it was challenging. This was the lady, the elder, who baptized the female candidates. And through translation, I had the opportunity to talk to her. What an inspiration. Just an ordinary lady, about the same age as me, we discovered. And she was introduced as the first ever Christian believer in this area, 20 years ago. It's only 20 years since there's been church there. And she just shone. That's the only way I can describe it. You can perhaps see there. And she said that 20 years ago, when she became a Christian, there were no churches. Church planting team had come and shared the gospel. Now, she said, all her family are Christian believers, and there are 500. Right? 500 churches. Now, they are little churches. But isn't that incredible? You know, these are people who just are so excited by what God has done for them. And they know they've come from darkness, that they want to share it. Goodness me, I found that challenging. I was just hoping she didn't ask me how many churches I'd planted. Fortunately not, because that could have been slightly embarrassing. Now, you saw that they use a boat to go out to the islands. The Sundarbans are right on the border of Bangladesh and India. And you could look over and look into Bangladesh. And so I was thinking, oh, right, we'll be on a proper boat. You know, and we walked down to the river, and I thought, no, surely not. But we didn't go on that two-tier one. This was the boat that we went on. It was completely open. It was 35 degrees, incredibly humid. And the umbrella was against the heat. Nothing else. But the guy who was holding the umbrella for me was a Muslim background believer from Bangladesh who had the most amazingly powerful testimony. And quite honestly, I could have sat on that boat and listened and shared with him, regardless of the heat. You see some interesting sights. The ferry, health and safety, I don't think so. And very similar, it's a bit dark. You arrive at the island. Now, I don't know if you noticed, and there's no jetties or anything like that. It's and I had quite a big rucksack on. It's a question of jump and pray. Because you sort of come alongside, and then they say, right, you know, jump now. There were quite a lot of them a bit younger than me as well. But very, very poor communities. The only income really is fishing. And again, we gathered people. You can see even by the dress of the local people how poor they are. This is a village that had been visited several times before, because one question I asked, you plant a church, what happens then? But they go back regularly and train people to disciple the new Christians. So this was a village, and I'm pretty certain it's a village that was on the video. And there's the clinic. I asked what's the most common ailment, and it's unsurprisingly mainly things to do with stomach ailments. I was reassured to see there was a village well, pump. But I wasn't very reassured after they told me where the water came from. It's pumped straight out of the river. And so it looks good, but actually, you know, take your water with you everywhere, of course. But, you know, for them, that is all that they have. And that river is polluted by electrometallurgical and chemical industries higher up. And these villages, that's the water they're drinking. So it's no wonder that they are getting all sorts of ailments and they need an incredible amount of help. This family was the first family of believers in this village. And you can see their home. Half of it is very, very basic. The guy on the left actually comes from that family, but he has moved away and joined the team, and he's come back to stay some while and do some discipling and teaching. Very, very hospitable people. you know, we're always told in the training, you know, you mustn't take any food from people and eat by your hands and all this business. Well, you know, what can you say? They're so generous. It was a bit like sort of Rice Krispies, but without the sugar, what they provided. So again, it's a case of eat and pray. And as long as you've got your water, then all is fine. But as this is my last image, I think. As we sat on that veranda, it was all men. And that's very much an Indian sort of thing in this part of India. And they, you know, they got a chair for me, and they even got a little fan. And they were talking and sharing fellowship. And I became aware that there was a woman in the kitchen bit behind all the smoke. And so I said to one of the translators, would you mind if coming with me to translate so I can go and talk to her? And they did. And this is one of my lasting images of this particular trip. This lady told me, she was so thrilled, first of all, that someone had bothered to come to speak to her. She had only recently become a Christian. And doesn't her face shine? Just so, so beautiful to see as she shared with me how she had come from darkness to light, as people had come to her village and had shared the gospel. We shared through the interpreter about our family, our children, our hopes and our dreams. And just so powerful. Many, many people are being touched by this work. But often it's a story of individuals, isn't it, that touches our hearts. Because Jesus always went to individuals. He spoke to crowds, but he changed the lives of individuals. And I just love that image. And that always reminds me of what this is about. It is about transformation. But you might ask, well, so what about us? This is all great, you know. We can't all go and be part of a church planting team or whatever. Well, Matthew chapter 5 reminds us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, you are the lights of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone. In the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We're called to let our light shine, not so that we look good and shiny, but that God may be glorified. As they see the good works we do, as they see our compassion and praise our Heavenly Father. This is our challenge, isn't it? To reflect God's light and his love to the world. To take that light into the very darkest corners of our own lives, of our community in Addleston, of this country and the world. That is a big challenge. We have come from darkness to light. We have been made new by the one who said he was the light of the world, who is the light of the world. You know, my prayer is that God will give us the grace and the strength to be what he has called us to be, and to ensure that we ourselves are ready to share that light with others. We may not be called to plant churches, but we are called to share the good news that we have received. And we're also called to support our partner mission, such as BMS World Mission, to continue to share that light in their own context, whether that be India or France or Afghanistan or Thailand or wherever. That is the heart of BMS World Mission. That's the vision, and that's what we're partnering with. So how can we do that? Well, some of you will have seen the magazine. The most recent one actually fell on my doorstep yesterday, so I have only got one copy of this. But these come about 4 times a year. Please, I'd love not to take any of them home with me. Please do pick up a copy. There's several on each table. Be informed. It's not just a good read. It's inspirational. I took this to bed with me last night and thought, oh, I'll just have a quick glance through. I read the whole lot. You know, and I think, wow, that is amazing what God is doing. Sometimes in the most difficult places in the world, if you want to get that regularly, there's little cards, you can do that. Or, as Ben said, you can go online to the website. Equally, as has been pointed out, we can pray. It's a very accessible prayer guide. There's one on every on every table. There's also a weekly email that you can get if you want to, which just gives you little updates, little stories, and it's completely up to date. And it means that you can be praying in a very relevant, specific way. And of course, also to give. And thank you on behalf of BMS World Mission for your giving, for your commitment. It may be that you, as an individual, would like to consider being an individual partner, if that's the case, and there are several of these leaflets as well, which is the way of giving with through regular giving. So I hope that you found that helpful to get a little glimpse into just one project of BMS World Mission, to see how light is overcoming darkness. And I would encourage you to pray with us that light will continue to shine out of the darkness in India, around the world, as well as in our own community here. So thank you for this opportunity this morning. Amen.
Well, thank you, Heather, for bringing that to us. Challenging, encouraging, inspiring, a whole range of emotions. So thank you for bringing that. Please take our blessings away with you and continue the good work in the other churches that you visit promoting this. Let me pray for us and then we'll break. Father God, thank you so much for what we've heard today. Thank you for inspiring us again of just what an amazing God you are, how gracious you are, how merciful you are. Thank you for reminding us of the good news of Jesus Christ, that through Jesus, the veil can indeed be lifted from our minds, and we can see in a new way, we can be in the light. And thank you, Lord, that you then call us to be light in our community. We would ask constantly for help with that. Help us as a church and as individuals to be lights to people still walking in darkness. And Lord, in all this, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done. Yeah. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.